morning. Today is Wednesday, September the 12th. September the 12th. Isn't that like frightening?
I thought it was the beginning of summer. What
maybe.
It was just...
Yeah, the smoke's starting to clear. Hey.
Yeah.
Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor and Coastal Commissioner Ryan Sundberg. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Plugging away so far.
Very nice.
But, you know, I'm not in high demand like somebody else in the studio. Here, there, everywhere. Yeah. Why do they say that? You ready for it?
Yes.
Why do we say we bandy words about when we argue?
I have no clue.
Because there's a game called bandy in which the players, each with a crooked stick, beat a ball back and forth from side to side and try to get it past their opponents into the goal. To bandy words, therefore, is to knock them back and forth as one would bandy a ball.
Huh.
The phrase keep the ball rolling is also taken from the same game. Now you know, huh?
Now I know.
Pretty exciting stuff. So what's been keeping you going lately?
Oh, it's been busy. Still the same issues. Lots of code enforcement and people growing marijuana in neighborhoods. And
boy, we weren't down
dogs
to
off their leashes.
Well, okay, fine. That's like the old days. We went down to Santa Rosa, Ukiah. Where was it? We came around the corner, and it was like, for 2 miles, all you could smell was marijuana grow. I think it was Ukiah, you know, just before you start the rise up north of town, headed towards, and it was like, where is the grow kind of thing? And you couldn't see it, but it was amazing how pungent that stuff is. I would imagine that neighbors are not tickled pink if a neighbor decides to start growing even two or three plants. Isn't that what the legal is?
No, six.
Okay. That's got to be enough to kind of smell up the neighborhood a little bit.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, if you're right next door, I'm sure. But
that
it depends on how big they grow.
That would be the definition of neighbor.
I think there's different kinds that smell worse or, you know, more fragrant than others. And there's also, you know, also for... It's only when they flower, and then when they harvest them is when it smells like that. So it's a pretty short window of time where it does that. So you probably drove through right when they were either harvesting or right in getting ready to harvest them.
I didn't see any combines running around, so.
Yeah.
Not that kind of harvest.
I think they just use
sickles?
Choppers and scissors.
Yeah, probably so. You mentioned the ADA. Is that going to finish on time, or is the county just having to document that this stuff is occurring and show pictures to the feds or whoever the judge is to there goes another one down and just kind of show that on a weekly basis?
I don't think it's a weekly basis, but there's a plan that we have, and you know, we're spending $18 million I think this year.
So gazillion was the word that I had in my
head. There's a lot, and but it's a plan on when we will accomplish things, and I don't have it memorized, but I know it starts off with most of it is up front, and then we accomplish tasks as we go, and I know
like
we've done like the way it's different projects. We have them all laid out. You know, the next big one I think that's coming is going to do the curb ramps. The ADA curb ramps, so they're going to be cutting out sidewalk.
Is that the yellow bumps?
Yeah,
on the
those
corner?
Little bump things on.
Okay.
Yeah, so those, there's I think a few thousand of them that they're going to be doing. It's a really expensive project.
I often wondered if the North American Egg Manufacturing Society were the ones behind that. You ever try to push a cart across those suckers? Right. Every time, it doesn't matter what the store is. I think eggs are being broken here.
You notice that you think by now the technology for the egg cartons have changed a little bit. It's the same as far as has it ever changed? You're a little older than I am. Has it ever changed?
Thanks. Bring up the age thing, huh? 2 days. You're bringing up the age.
A lot can happen in 2 days.
Yeah. But I'm old enough so I would forget what those things were, right?
Oh.
Is that what you're implying?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
but it's the same egg cartons, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, some are plastic, some are cardboard, but it's the same concept.
Yeah. I think that could be someone's million-dollar invention.
How to keep eggs from breaking in cartons?
Develop a new containers? A better egg carton.
We'll just put that one out there and see if anybody listening to the show comes up with that one. Yeah.
Email Brian your ideas.
Yeah, me, you're the one that's going to be looking for a job. You can figure it out.
Well, that may be my next deal there.
Oh, what are you hearing about the fires? Anything exciting? Any progress, so to speak?
So I know that I-5 is back open with some controlled traffic.
Wasn't that a goofy one last week?
Yeah. I can't imagine what the numbers are going to be for the loss in economic activity. I mean, the amount of trucks that go I-5 is amazing, you know, from Canada to Mexico, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's got to be just a massive number of...
But what was Brown going to be spending money on? He talked about this weekend, some huge amount of money on something. It wasn't the light rail thing. It was some other thing. And I thought, holy cow.
I don't know.
We got all these other challenges that are out there, and let's go throw some money elsewhere. Is there much discussion going on about preventative things with the forest fires?
There is. I know you have to take a break here pretty quick, but we can... we had actually on our agenda yesterday, we talked about climate and that kind of thing, and I brought up the idea that there's, you know, a lot of the greenhouse gas emissions are from wildfires, and so we need to make sure that we include that in the discussions, you know, not only renewable energy to help, but wildfires as well.
We'll talk about fires then when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. Me and the kid are back to talk shop this morning. Egg cartons. Okay, fine. Fire prevention. We can get off into all kinds of different areas about forest practices and management and what is and what isn't and all that kind of stuff. But either at the Coastal Commission or at the state, you know, with the CSAC group, is there much discussion about this proactive rather than let's throw more money at it from CAL FIRE? Let's throw more money in the reaction to rather than the prevention of.
Yeah, I know that there is a lot of talk about it and action. You know, there's the fire safe communities, and there's, I know I've went out and delivered the plaques that they get to be a fire safe community, and they do a lot of clearing around houses, and you know, so I mean, that's how if they protect their house with a defensible space, you know, their odds of sort of having a house still be there after the wildfire goes through is a lot better. And
you see that on 20.
Yeah, you can see where
odds of houses sitting in amongst charcoal.
Exactly. Yeah. So I know a lot of effort's being put into that. And then I did hear last week there was Governor Brown had just signed something that's going to include a bunch of money for wildfire prevention. And I believe Senator McGuire was involved in that as well. I don't know the details, but
that's like the trimming on the sides of the road.
It could be. Yeah. I just remember seeing a blurb about it on a email. And then at our meeting yesterday, you know, we talked about, we had a climate item on our agenda, and Supervisor Wilson is going down to San Francisco for the big climate summit they're having. And when I read the proclamation that we were doing, they didn't have any mention of wildfire in there. So I brought it up that, you know, there's, if you're going to talk about greenhouse gases, you know, these humongous wildfires are contributing a lot to it. And then not only the greenhouse gases that are emitted, but once it's all burned up, there's not anything sucking it back. So it's a kind of a double whammy there. And, you know, we needed to make sure that, I said, you know, when you're down at these things, that people are talking about that and, you know, focusing aggressively on how to prevent wildfires and managing the forest differently. And, you know, because you can see a correlation of when they basically stop managing them, you know, taking out the roads and, you know, so they can't get in there, these things just go out of control.
Yeah, you don't have the fire breaks and you don't have the access. Mm-hmm. In. I wonder if there's a difference between the federal and the state forests. Either the extent of the fires, the number of the fires, mm-hmm. the cost of the fires, if there'd be some way to compare and see if one was doing a better job than the other.
They have to have that information. I've never seen it, but I think the federal ones are the ones that really go because there's so much wilderness in there. And
yeah, it could be apples to kumquats too.
Uh-huh. And then I also know they have a hard time even once a fire goes through doing the salvage logging and that kind of thing. I know the environmental groups usually sue over it, and so then that material stays in there and catches on fire again.
That's the thing that I look at with the footprint of the fires that we've had in the area in the last 5 years, say. Okay, what happens? Well, you get some grasses growing, the grasses grow up, the grasses dry out, spark, and now it's roaring through the same places yet again. It would seem like there's...
Well, and if you leave all the fuel down, you know, once the tree's dead, it falls over and just adds fuel to the fire.
Does the county, I guess it would be, who manages the lands? Is that just parks? Is that the only property per se that the county owns other than structural?
Yes, it's parks.
So there's really nothing to be.
And the county doesn't managed. Have, yeah, we don't have any property. This is state and federal.
Right. Well, I'm just wondering if the voice of the county would be a lone voice in the wilderness? Or if it would be something that's added to in a bunch of the rural or the northern end of the state. I know there's fires down mm-hmm. south too, but the northern end of the state could come together and say, hey, look,
well,
we're
you know,
tired of this stuff.
Supervisor Bones on the RCRC, yeah. And that was one of the things he mentioned at our meeting also, is that the rural counties are, you know, really focusing on this and trying to figure out a better way to manage these. And, you know, because it's just devastating on these communities when you have these wildfires go through, and just, you know, the smoke impacts and
Do you get mad at the smoke? I did a couple weeks ago. It was like, this should be a crystal clear day, and we've got that hazy gluck that we were suffering. I got hacked off for 2 or 3 days. It's like, wait a minute, we don't get a lot of those days this time of the year. You know, it's normally foggy, right? Here we got a couple of them, and we're not getting our. It's not fair, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky over here. It's been on the coast. It hasn't been terrible, but even with the little smoke that we have had, it's. I noticed I get headaches when. And I'll have a headache. I never get headaches. And then all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, and you look up in the mountains and you can see that haze just floating there.
Looks like the
Bay
Area.
That's why I have
a
headache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does the Coastal Commission play around with this stuff at all or weigh in? Or because the jurisdiction is so close to the ocean that it's really not much of a factor?
The only time, the way that I've seen it be impacted is when we'll have projects come through to do a defensible space, you know, in the coastal zone. So it's, you know, the coastal zone's usually not a huge fire risk, but after Santa Barbara and these other places, they've definitely paid a lot more attention to it. And I think where they may have given someone a harder time on you know, clearing trees around their house, you know, up to 250 feet, it's kind of a no-brainer.
A little bit more relaxed.
Because we'll get letters from people saying, you know, don't cut these redwoods and this and that. But
like eucalyptus.
Yeah.
It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sandberg. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, and American Ag. Ryan, every once in a while, I think, I had a question for Tony yesterday. I said, how often does the city or the county, cities or county, audit the books of the Lodging Association members or the independent guys? It's changed a little bit as there's more and more branded, so everybody's, you know, you got to report up the system with those guys. But sales tax, gas, and, you know, you got the stamp on the pumps, okay, fine. Weights and measures, and then the auditor themselves. You know, is that something that's a regular process that goes on? Is it calendared in? Is it random, or is it even done?
I know the ones that go through the county are like a sampling. You know, they do an audit of the whole thing. That was one of the things that came up for Measure Z was, you know, the grand jury was saying it wasn't audited, but the Measure Z money is part of the county, and so it gets a sampling as well. And then what we're doing also with Measure Z while we're on it is we dedicated money to do an independent full audit on the Measure Z money. And so what that would do is go, you know, if you're a recipient of Measure Z money, it'll go through and make sure that exactly what you said you spent money on, money went there, you know. And
so that the string that was attached to it.
Yeah, and most of the time, I mean, I feel pretty confident with it because we do receipts. So you have to spend the money and then you turn the receipts in and get reimbursed. And so we don't give money first and then wait for someone to do work and then get it back. And so, you know, and then we do the regular audit that the whole county gets, you know, and that's from an outside company. So I don't know. I thought the grand jury report was a little unfair for Measure Z just because they
not ignorant about it, or was there some jealousies?
I'm not sure.
What was the second level on that instead of just the report itself?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know why.
Obviously,
it was written that way.
Didn't bother you that much, then?
Well, no, I don't know why. I mean, I know it bothered me because, and then when we, you know, we had our meeting and we gave the, you know, our responses to it. You know, here's what it is happening, and I'm not sure why they said there was no audits, but there.
So,
there
lack
is.
Of information or misinformation?
What do you think? Probably both. And so one of the things that I mentioned actually at the meeting where we did the responses to the grand jury was that it'd be nice to do some kind of exit after they write up their report to go and meet with especially our CAO, because she has most of all this information touches the CAO somehow. And
sure.
So they have a lot of information. And if they wrote out their findings, you know, and then ran those by the CAO after they're done, they could correct a lot of these little issues that may or may not be correct, you know, or partially correct, but not getting the full story. And so I asked the grand jury, because they had been doing this before, is they've been, you know, finding this information out instead of kind of being in by themselves, and then you issue the report, and then we have to correct whatever we correct. It's
yeah, you're responding to the final report rather than the interim report, and then get.
I just think it would be a more accurate and a better report if there was a little more communication between our staff, the county staff, and the grand jury before they put out their final report. And so that's what I asked them. I gave a recommendation that should happen. Just, you know, because it's no fun just saying, you know, we disagree every single time.
Or to spend a lot of time and effort filling in the blanks rather than just kind of talking about it before.
Yeah, the other part that happens is the community gets all this information from the grand jury, and it blows up, and they, you know, everyone's outraged about, you know, what the grand jury said and just takes that as truth. You know, and then I don't know how many of them get circled back around and find out that, oh, here's our response to it, and it wasn't exactly the way that it was portrayed. And so that's not helpful either.
I would think that would be something that would be just baked into the system.
It's not. It's an independent body, though. You know,
right, but you call back in and say, okay, here's what we found, and do a final Q&A. Here are the areas of concern. Is that still the case? Particularly if it's something that was fluid, because they've got a period of time. So maybe there was something that was talked about, or maybe things have just changed and you're reporting on what was rather than what is.
Yes, and that definitely happens. I'm not saying this is all a grand jury's fault or anything. You know, they got this information from somewhere, you know, and someone told them something. And, you know, the guy that came said they get it, they have to have it from three different sources or something. And, you know, so it could have been true at the time, you know, but in the meantime, we've dedicated money, or we've fixed things, or, you know, came to our attention.
Plugged a leak.
Especially if it comes to our attention at the same time as them, we may take care of it, but they don't have that information of what's happened, you know, between the lag time and getting the information, developing the report, and having us address an issue.
KINS, news and information time.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, news and information times, 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, one of the things I know that has happened fairly recently was an audit of the auditor's department, which is kind of like, for some, I'm sure, sensing Department of Redundancy Department.
Well, it was a management review.
So when one of those happens, how does that get executed?
So we hired an outside firm that, you know, does management reviews for a living, and went in, and, you know, because we kept hearing things that, you know, the county was not doing things correctly, or we were understaffed.
So, you know, procedural, structural stuff?
Real structural stuff. And, you know, so we wanted to know, are we really understaffed, or is it because nobody is trained, or is it management and not, you know, how many people you have, you know? So we wanted to really take a deep dive into that, and especially with the, you know, the old one leaving and a new one coming in, and we have an interim period here where Cheryl Dillingham is filling in right now until January. So we thought it was a perfect time to go in and try and really get a handle on what's going on there and what do we need to do to fix it. So we got in there, and from the sounds of it, there's a few things going on. There's a lack of training. There's been a lack of management direction, and you've probably heard about most of this in your show over time. And, you know, so some of it we knew was going on, but we need to get them trained right? There's a lot of training issues over
there. So was that a squeeze by the CAO's office when it came to budget time about training, or was this just
so that,
budget application once the budget number came to the previous auditor and how they applied those dollars?
Yeah, my opinion is that the auditor is a separately elected position, and they have to go and tell, they have to make a request, right? So we didn't
for
have
training dollars.
Yeah, I mean they have some, but it's, I don't think it was executed properly, and so that's one of the issues is training, and then one of the other issues is where they're focusing their attention. So they're, one of them was that they were focusing on little pieces of the of generally accepted accounting principles and like more technicalities instead of looking at the big picture and saying, oh, we could spend our time over here and fix a big problem instead of focusing on this little tiny thing. And I think one of them said, it's costing you dollars to chase pennies, and that was an issue. So they're thinking that they may not, we still may need more staff in there, but they needed to figure out first, once everyone is fully trained and maximizing their potential, then we'll take another look at it and see if they do need more people.
It sounds like a lack of prioritization also.
Yeah, exactly. And we've also given some short-term help in there to help them in the meantime. One of the other things we're going to do is we're going to move some of the functions over to the Human Resources Department. So kind of spread out the, so not so much just concentrated in that office.
So was HR tickled with that move?
Yeah. I mean, I think that they're capable and, we've got a really strong HR manager. And one of the other things we're going to do is we're going to have all the department heads and the accounting office meet all together and talk about how they can make things better, right, and how things will work. So that's going to be, it's a meeting that happens frequently so that they can all be on the same page. And that, because usually it affects one person, it affects them all.
Well, it's tough to be that isolated, I would think.
Yeah, and so they need to all be on the same page all the time. And so we're hopeful that these new structures we set up are going to make a difference.
Yeah, time will tell.
Time will tell.
So that'll fall under the CAO's auspice?
Well, the CAO manages these projects for us. And they, we put a lot on their plate, and they do a good job.
Well, they may come back and have some time management issues then, too.
It's very possible.
Too much fun. Well, have fun down in Fort Bragg.
Oh,
yes.
I know
you're looking forward to it.
Yep. 3 days of fun.
Yep. All right. See everybody tomorrow.
All right.